Welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. Who takes care of me when I get older? How do I make sense out of my what's happening to my mom and dad? How do I answer the two great questions of aging? Who's going to take care of me and how am I going to pay for it? I think I have a really interesting show for you today. I hope you share it with other people. Couple things we have to get out of the way up front. Remember, I'm not an attorney. I don't practice law. I don't give legal advice. If you want legal advice, you should consult an attorney, preferably one who knows what they're doing. Everything we talk about here is my opinion only and should not be taken as any form of legal, tax, or financial advice. Again, everything here is my opinion only. I have a California insurance license, a legal document assistant license recorded in Sacramento County, which allows me to prepare legal documents at your request. I am not securities licensed, don't want to be, especially with what's going on in the world. So anyhow, lots to talk about today, and I think I have an interesting subject. We'll get to actually two. The two halves of the show today are going to be completely different. I think you'll find them informative, and I hope you find them helpful. Don't forget, you can always get a hold of me in several different ways. One is by calling my number here in Sacramento. It's an 800 number, but you can call 800-999-8007, 800-999-8007. You can go to my website, assetsandaging.com, assets, A-S-S-E-T-S, and A-N-D, aging, A-G-I-N-G.com. You can sign up for a workshop, my newsletter. You can get help. You can set up an appointment. You can ask me a question. You can listen to my podcast every Wednesday at noon. You can listen to my archived podcasts and radio shows. There's tons of information. You can watch, you can read interviews that I've done with the Business Journal and other stuff, and I hope you'll find it interesting. I just did an interview on Channel 10 the other day. I think, and that should be up on my website here pretty soon, or on YouTube, and happy to have you go and listen and watch and learn. My goal after doing this for 18 years here on KFBK is to help people with the issues of aging. It doesn't matter who I talk to. I was talking to a young man the other day. We were meeting over something totally unrelated to this show, and we started talking, and he's come back to Sacramento to take care of his aging parents. It's everywhere. If I went into a coffee shop somewhere and I stopped everybody for a minute and said, how many of you are involved or have been involved in taking care of an aging parent or grandparent? Everybody would raise their hands. It's happening all over America. It's not going to reduce in scope. It's going to grow in scope. It's going to affect more and more people, and that's what this show is dedicated to and has been. If you care about your own aging process, you care about your mom and dad or your grammy and grampy, and you're wondering how you're going to take care of them, who's going to pay for it, and all that stuff. I was listening to a nationally syndicated show the other day, and the person was talking to somebody, and they were talking about long-term care, and every single piece of information that both of them gave out was incorrect. And we'll talk about that in the second half of the show, because we'll talk about the myths that hurt people when it comes to this subject. So I've given you my contact information, places for you to get information. Now sit back and enjoy the show, and I think you'll find the topic interesting. I did a shorter version of this on my recent podcast, and I decided to expand it because podcasts are limited to about 10 or 12 minutes. And the title of the podcast was The Ambulance is on the Way. And I want to stay with that theme. The ambulance is on the way. Now, what does that mean? Well, imagine, and I'm gonna use mom. It could be dad, it could be my spouse, it could be grandma, it could be grandpa, I don't care. I'm just going to use mom in my story. I just finished my book, by the way. It's being proofread now. And I wish I had included this as a chapter, because I think it would have made a great chapter. But it's the ambulance is on the way. And I'm going to start talking about this at my workshops, too. So mom has fallen in her house. Mom has had a stroke. Mom has had a heart attack. Mom is wandered away with dementia. Pick a scenario. I don't care. For the sake of my example here, mom has fallen and broken a hip. By the way, breaking a hip is not a small thing. Half of all older people who break a hip are dead within a year. So mom has fallen and broken a hip, and someone has found her and called the ambulance, and the ambulance is on the way. Now, you get a call from the neighbor, and you're the son or the daughter or whoever it is, and you've been told the ambulance is on the way to pick your mom up and take her to the hospital. Now, if you're lucky, you get to the house about the same time that the ambulance does. The odds are you don't. The odds are you get a phone call that says the ambulance is taking your mom to whatever hospital, and you jump in the car and you head for the hospital. What is going to happen to you in the next 24 to 48 hours, you cannot imagine. Some of you have lived through this. Some of you have just recently done it. Some of you, it's happened to more than once. Some of you, it's going to happen to soon. But it's going to happen to almost all of us in the future. At some time in our life. Sometimes more than once. And so you jump in the car and you head for the hospital. And when you get there, the ambulance is already there. And they've taken mom into the emergency room. And you walk up and say, "My mother Mildred is here. I'd like to see her." And the first thing they're going to ask you is, "Who are you? And where's your power of advanced healthcare directive?" And you realize that in your panic, you ran out of the house without it. In fact, you don't even have a copy because the trust and all the documents were at mom's house and you didn't go there. You went to the hospital. So they want to know who you are and before they let you in. Now, if you're lucky, your mom is going to be able to say, they'll go back and ask her, "Your daughter Julie's here or your son Bob is here. Is it okay if they come back?" And she's conscious enough to say, "Sure." If not, you could have a real problem getting back to where your mom is because of HIPAA. So all of a sudden, you've been confronted with your first problem of the day, which you never thought about happening. And it's one of the reasons why I counsel people when I talk to them, if they're taking care of an aging loved one, that they keep a copy of the Advanced Healthcare Directive in their car. Why? Because when you get to the hospital, it's in the glove compartment or behind the front seat of your car. And you can grab it and go in, and now you have access to take care of your mom or your dad or your grammy or your grampy or your spouse. They're going to want to know who you are. Now you get into the emergency room, and there's doctors around your mom. And they may have administered pain meds, and your mom is out of it. And lots of people are asking you questions about DNRs, about what meds your mom is on. And you're going, "I don't know what meds my mom is on." "What do you mean, what meds is she?" "Well, I think she takes something for her heart. I think she takes something for cholesterol." I think all of that information is going to become critical. That's why I counsel people, my wife and I, carry each other's meds with us, her in her purse and me in my wallet. We have copies, we have written down on a piece of paper our meds and the dosage. It's going to be a really, really, really important thing for that doctor to know what meds, in my example here, mom is on. What's your mom's health history? Who's your mom's doctor? Where are the medical records? It hasn't even been a couple minutes, and you've already been confronted with a whole bunch of questions. What if you're the first child to arrive and you're not first on the Advanced Healthcare Directive? It's your brother who's not there yet. You're not authorized to make any decisions if mom can't give permission. And some of you have already gone through this. And don't assume just because you're a spouse that they're going to talk to you. So we're not even 5 minutes into this, and you've been confronted by 4, 5, 6, 8, 10 different decisions and scenarios that you've been confronted with for which you are not prepared. And we're just getting started. A half an hour hasn't gone by since you arrived at the hospital. Now they're going to wheel your mom back for x-rays or CT scans or MRIs or whatever. They're going to run blood. They're going to run blood tests. They're going to run, maybe they've put her on some pain relief. She's now in and out, you know, not making sense. And people are hammering you with questions. Now let's assume that we're into this a couple hours now and the x-rays have come back and everything else. And yes, indeed, your mom has a broken hip. And they're going to take her up to a room. Has your mom just been admitted, or is she still under observation, or do you know? What do you mean, Bob? I didn't know there was a difference. Oh, there's a big difference. And if you listen to one of my former shows on the difference, you'll find out how important it is for you to know, is your mom there under observation or under admission? Well, Bob, she's being moved to a room. She still is not necessarily admitted to the hospital. So now you're trying to get information about, okay, what are they going to do to the hip? Is she going to need surgery? Is it going to heal? Are they going to pin it? What are they going to do? And you're making decisions, and we're only 2 or 3 hours into this. And it all started with the ambulance is on the way. Oh, and we haven't begun yet. Are you prepared to make all these decisions? If you're not, then you ought to come in and see me as soon as possible and make sure you know the answers to all these questions and have the ability to make all these decisions. Bring your children in, bring your mom and dad in, but get in and make sure that the family is equipped and authorized to make the decisions that are going to follow the phone call that says the ambulance is on the way. Okay. Now mom's up in a room. She's on pain meds. She's kind of out of it. They try to get her up right away. You're talking to the physical therapist. You're trying to make decisions. The doctor's in and out. The nurses are in and out. Your mom is catheterized. She can't get up. She can't walk. She's delusional because of the drug, the pain meds, and all that kind of stuff. And you're trying to figure all this out. In the back of all of this is, in the back of your head, is if mom dies, do I know her funeral wishes? Do I know which cemetery she's going to use? Do I know what her desires are? Do I know if she's prepaid for any of this? Do I know where the documents are? Yes, that thought goes through everybody's head. Trust me, at some point. Now, couple days go by, mom starts to come out of the fog, she's still on pain meds, but not as much. And they're starting to talk about discharging mom. And mom can't walk. Mom can't walk yet. So they want to discharge her, and they're talking about discharging her to home, and we'll get a physical therapist over there 3 times a week, and who's going to be there to take care of mom? And you're going, what do you mean who's going to be there? We can't send your mom home without, you know, somebody being there 24 hours a day. Well, I can't be there. I work or I have a family or whatever. And all of a sudden, you're now confronted with a whole nother set of issues, which are who's going to take care of mom at home? Are you going to do round-the-clock family members every 8 hours? Somebody else is going to come in? How are you going to handle that? Who's in charge? Who's making those decisions? If you have to hire a caregiver at home, who's going to pay for it? Is mom going to pay for it? How? Do you have control of her bank account? Can you write checks? Can you move money from savings to checking? All of this started with the phone call that says the ambulance is on the way. We're now only a couple days in it, and you've probably had to make 50 decisions you never thought about. Okay, they decide mom's not going home. Mom's going to rehab. Okay, well, was mom admitted or observed? If she was observed, you're paying, even though she's been in the hospital for a couple days, you're going to pay for rehab. Or she is. Somebody's paying for rehab. Medicare's not paying because she wasn't admitted. If she was admitted, what nursing home is she going to go to for rehab? Is it one clear across town? Is it one close to you? Do you have any say in the matter? Do you know anything about the physical therapy department at the rehab center? I know nursing homes with that the rehab people have been there for 20 years. I know other ones where the rehab people rotate every 6 months. Do you know what kind of care they offer? Do you know anything about them? What do you have any say in the matter? In some cases, certain hospitals will transfer your mom to whatever nursing home they have on their contract list, whichever one has a bed, and you don't know anything about it. Now we're moved into rehab. Rehab is $700 to $900 a day. Who's paying that? Is Medicare going to pay that? Is her Medicare supplement going to pay that? Do you have her Medicare card and her Medicare supplement card? Do you know how many days Medicare will pay? Well, Bob, they pay for 100 days. No, they don't. They pay for up to 100 days. We're now 3 days into this, and you've made scores of decisions. Again, all starting with the phone call that says the ambulance is on the way. Now, we're going to go a little farther here, but I want to take a breath and allow you to let all this sink in, because you are going to be confronted with this, or your children are going to be confronted with this at some point. Now, I've picked a broken hip. It could be a stroke. It could be a heart attack. It could be a fall and a broken wrist or a broken leg or a concussion, or it could be 1,000 different things. It could be dementia. And your mom walked away from home and fell off a curb. It could be all kinds of things. So what's your plan? How are you going to deal just with the question? We're only 3 days into this. And how many decisions have you had to make as the child or the grandchild or the spouse or whoever it is? Nobody thinks about it. Nobody walks through the questions. And by the way, the list of ones I've gone through isn't exhaustive. It's just obvious ones. 800-999-8007. If I've piqued your interest enough to say, oh my lands, Bob, I don't know the answers to all of that stuff from my mom or my dad or my grammy or my grampy, then you better... It's time for you to come in and sit down and figure this out. I know some of you have been listening to this show for years, and one of these days you're going to get around to it. Well, when you get the phone call that the ambulance is on the way, that's not when you want to try to figure this out. Almost every person I've ever had go into a nursing home, the family saw it coming and did nothing. They just hoped it would get better. If you're hoping, you're setting up a scenario, a recipe for disaster. If you think I'm exaggerating, go hang out in an emergency room for a while or in a nursing home for a while, and you'll see this story repeated dozens, scores, hundreds of times a day in Sacramento. Now, we're now in rehab, and we're over at Shady Acres Rehab. We hope it's a good one. We don't know because we didn't have any ideas in mind. We went wherever the hospital took us. We just found out the ambulance bill wasn't covered because ambulances aren't covered by Medicare or Medicare supplements. So the ambulance drive from the house to the hospital and from the hospital to the nursing home could have easily cost $1,500 to $2,000. And nobody's paying for that except you. So we're now in the nursing home on rehab. And every day, mom gets rehab twice a day trying to rehab that hip. And about the second day of rehab, mom says, I don't want to do this anymore. It hurts. Don't do it. Medicare just stopped paying for the rehab. Now what are you going to do? Because it's $700 a day in that nursing home for rehab. And Medicare stopped paying because mom wouldn't cooperate because it hurt. What if at the end of a week, the nursing home says, the rehab, we're not getting her any better. We've got, she's as good as she's going to get. We're sending mom home. And by the way, mom is going to need 24-hour day care, and we're back at home, and we're looking at $10,000 to $12,000 a month for a caregiver, and everybody's saying, what do we do, what do we do, what do we do? And all along the way, people have been asking you questions for which you have no answers. And the reason why is this was never going to happen. It's simple. Everybody I've talked to in 25 years says the same thing to me. We never thought this would happen. We never could have imagined that this would happen. We never could have believed that this would happen. We're only a couple weeks into it, and we have now been confronted with hundreds of decisions for which, in the most, we're ill-prepared. And I'm going to throw in one other thing. Just to make this fun. Mom was the well spouse, and she was taking care of Dad who had dementia. Mom fell and broke her hip trying to take care of Dad. Mom is now in the nursing home, and Dad is home alone. All because the ambulance is on the way. Are you prepared to make the decisions that have to be made? Are you equipped? Do you know how to make them? Let's just start with meds. Do you know what meds your mom and dad are on? Do you know their primary physician? Are there documents in place that are going to let you make these decisions? Let's just start with the simple ones. The first thing they're going to ask at the hospital is, what's your mom's health history? Well, she's got some of this and some of this. Pardon me, and some of this. I don't know what the answer is for you. I know that this has happened to some of you. And you know that I am speaking the truth. I am not making this stuff up. People think, accuse me all the time of saying, Bob, you make this stuff up. It can't be that bad. You're right. It can't be. It can be 10 times worse than you can imagine. And what if mom never comes home? What if mom doesn't recover from the fall or from the stroke and she winds up in a nursing home for the next 3 years? Now you're confronted with a whole nother set of issues. Or now she can't go home, but she could go to assisted living. A whole nother set of issues. Now what do you do with the house? A whole nother set of issues and questions. All starting with a phone call to you that said, the ambulance is on the way. It happens all the time. All the time. If you don't believe it happens all the time, you're just not paying attention. But it happens all the time. Intervene. Have a plan. Have a family conference. Make sure everything's in place. Know the answers to the questions you're going to get asked. Set up a time to come and see me. The consultation is free. I've always thought that was a very good price. The consultation is free, as in free. But you have to get off your you-know-what as a child or as a parent and walk to the phone and make the phone call and say, I need to start working on this. Because my kids don't know the answers to this. I don't know the answers to this for my husband. I'm freaked out and my kids are in the hospital and they don't know what to ask. Do your kids have access to your checkbook if your mom in the hospital and they've got to pay your bills? Do they know where your stocks and bonds are? Do they have access to your IRA so they can pay the bills? Can they pay the mortgage on your house? What if you've got a reverse mortgage and now you're out of the house and the reverse mortgage comes due? 800-999-8007. When you get the call that the ambulance is on the way, you're going to be confronted with more stuff than you can imagine. Are you prepared to hear the questions and have the answers? If not, call me today. Make the call. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. Be prepared for the call. Be calm and assured when the call comes, knowing that you know what's going to happen and you're empowered to make decisions. We're going to be back in just a couple minutes. In the second half of the show, we're going to talk about myths that can hurt. Myths that can hurt. Don't go away. Give me a call during the break. 800-999-8007. We'll be back in just a couple minutes right here on Assets and Aging. Welcome back to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. In the first half of the show, we talked about, you know, the ambulance is on the way. What am I going to be confronted with when I get that call about my mom or my dad or my grandma, my grandpa, my spouse, whatever? Am I prepared to deal with the onslaught that is going to come after I get that call? The second half of the show here, I'm going to talk about something I wrote about in a newsletter recently, and I thought it was important enough to talk about it here. And that is myths that can hurt. Myths that can hurt. And I want to read you something from my newsletter, and then I'll get into the body of it. But rather than reforming the words, let me read you what I wrote in this newsletter. With rare exceptions, every person with whom I have ever met who either has a loved one in a nursing home or in need of one has begun the conversation by saying something akin to, "We have heard that there is nothing we can do. Our family's fate is sealed. What other steps could we possibly take?" Something like that. Then inevitably, some piece of misinformation will spring from their mouths. Some have information that would have been correct in the past but no longer is. Others have made egregious assumptions. Some are convinced they know how it all works because they've done hours worth of research on Google. Still others seem that they're being lied to with alarming regularity by the professionals and friends in their employ and personal lives. Whatever the case, myths and falsehoods are unmistakably rampant. I told you I listened to a nationally syndicated show today, and the host was on there talking about long-term care in nursing homes, and he had somebody on as a caller that was pontificating about how his mother had been in a nursing home and they had lost everything, and both of them were talking about, well, there's nothing you can do, you have to impoverish yourself, there's nothing. And I called the show and I couldn't get on, because everything both of them said reinforced all the myths out there, and every single word out of both of their mouths was incorrect. And the problem is that because it came out of their mouths on a national radio show, they're going to influence lots of people who now are going to buy into the junk that's out there and the myths that are out there about long-term care and nursing homes and Medi-Cal and all the other stuff that's out there. I was angry and appalled that I had to listen to it. So I wrote this newsletter not long ago on this issue, and then I heard it today, and it brought it back up again. So welcome to the second half of the show. I'm Bob Scrivano, your host, right here on Assets and Aging. My number is 800-999-8007, or you can go to my website, assetsandaging.com. Find all kinds of information. Listen to my podcasts every Wednesday. If you don't get my newsletter, sign up for it. You can do it on the website. But here's the myths I've heard. And I've been talking about these for 25 years I've been doing this and the 18 years I've been on the radio. Because after 25 years and 18 years on the radio, I hear the same myths repeated over and over and over and over again. I go to other people's workshops and I hear this stuff. I hear it on the radio. I read it in the newspaper. I hear it on everywhere. So let me go through some of the myths that you may have heard about long-term care and Medi-Cal and nursing homes and see if they sound familiar to you. Myth number one, there is a 5-year look back. No, there's not. There are in other states, not in California. If you're in a nursing home applying for Medi-Cal or any kind of Medi-Cal in California, IHSS, the Assisted Living Waiver Program, personal care services provider, a long-term care nursing home, there is no 5-year look back. There is a 3-year look back. No, there's not. Bob, I read that. I don't care what you read. No, there's not. There is in other states. There is a 5-year look back in other states. There is not in California. There is a 30-month look back. No, there's not. There is no such thing as a look back. It has to do with something called period of ineligibility. And there's actually a Medi-Cal form called an MC-176-PI that you can go to, and there's a formula in the law, and it has nothing to do with look back. It has to do with if you make a gift, how long does that gift make you ineligible from the date of the gift? It's one of the most misunderstood rules and misquoted rules on the planet. There's no 30-month look back. I see it all the time in insurance stuff I get from insurance companies. I hear it from insurance agents and long-term care guys, and I hear it from stockbrokers, and I hear it from all kinds of people, that you can't do anything for 5 years or 3 years or 30 months. None of that is true. The next one, you can only have $2,000. One of the things they were talking about on the radio today is you have to impoverish yourself. No, you don't. There's no rule that says you have to impoverish yourself. Bob, take a deep breath. You're getting excited. Yes, I am, because this stuff really ticks me off. Because it cost, one of the caller on the radio program today was talking about how his mother lost everything. And I'm screaming at the radio, you guys, please stop telling people this, because you're reinforcing the fact that people are going to lose everything. And it doesn't have to happen. No, you can only have 2,000, no such rule. I know people think there is, but when you hear the actual rule, which I'm not going to go over, it's not what you think it is. If you're married, you can only have about $120,000. No, not true. Not true. Let's say you had $400,000 in an IRA. You could keep it all because it's in an IRA. Let's say you have a $500,000 house. You can keep the house. Let's say you had money in a deferred comp. Doesn't count. I mean, I know people have heard all that, but it's not true. You can keep more money using a court order. Now, most of the stuff you're going to hear me say is not true. They're myth. And the reason they hurt people is they cause people to do things they don't need to do, or they get talked into doing stuff that's of no value, or they wind up losing everything. Here's one of my favorites. You have to get a divorce. I've actually read stuff by attorneys in California saying you have to get a divorce. And I have to tell you, I know a lot of really good elder law attorneys, and none of them would tell you that. In other states, that is true sometimes, not in California. The state will take your home away. No, the state never takes your home away, ever. Under certain circumstances, if you've been on Medi-Cal in a nursing home, after everybody's dead, the state could file a claim against your estate, which might include your home, but the state never takes homes away, ever. They do not come in and seize your home. And yet I've been to seminars that I've been thrown out of where I've heard people say, well, if you don't do this and this and this, the state's going to take your home away. Not true. As long as you have a will, all will be okay. No, the fact that you have a will may make your home subject to recovery because it's going through probate. So that's not true. As long as I have a power of attorney, all will be okay. No, first of all, powers of attorney generally end at death. And secondly, it depends on what it says. Well, Bob, it says I can do anything I want to do. Not an attorney, don't practice law. If I had six elder law attorneys sitting here with me today, they would tell you, no, powers of attorney always say what you can do and what you can't do. So it's all about what it says. You cannot own a business. Yes, you can. In fact, most of the time, by Medi-Cal statute, a business is exempt. You can own a business and qualify for long-term care Medi-Cal. You cannot own a rental. Not true. It has to be dealt with, but not true. You can only have $1,500 in life insurance. Not true. You can have an unlimited amount of life insurance. What matters is what the cash value is, not the life insurance amount. If you have $250,000 a term, you get to keep it. You don't have to cancel it. You don't have to throw it away. You don't have to cash it in. You cannot have a funeral plan. Yes, you can. Funeral plans are specifically exempt, and irrevocable funeral plans are completely exempt. How am I doing so far? Have I hit on some of the ones you've heard? Are you a little surprised? Bob, I never heard this before. Well, you're hearing it now. Okay. You can only be in a state-owned nursing home if you're on Medi-Cal. State doesn't own any nursing homes, folks. State doesn't own... They own some assisted living facilities called veterans homes. Those are assisted living. They're not nursing homes. And if you do go in a veterans home, you may be subject to recovery because they operate in under a lot of the rules that Medi-Cal operates under. But the state doesn't have nursing homes. There is no such thing as Medi-Cal state-run nursing homes. You have to be in a Medi-Cal bed. There's no such thing as a Medi-Cal bed. Go find me a regulation that talks about a Medi-Cal bed. There are long-term beds and short-term beds. There are Medicare beds. There are rehab beds. But there's no Medi-Cal beds. And yet I've heard more than one person say, the nursing home said I had to leave after rehab because they didn't have any Medi-Cal beds. There are no Medi-Cal beds in nursing homes. You have to cash in all your investments. No, you don't. There's no requirement that you do that. There are asset requirements, and you have to understand them, but there's nothing that says you have to cash in, you know, all of your investments or your IRAs or your life insurance. No, you don't. You can just give it all away. You can, but then it's not yours anymore, and if you get better and want it back, that may not be a good idea. If you give away your house to your kids, there could be severe tax implications. And if, depending on how you give it away, you could make yourself ineligible for Medi-Cal for 2.5 years. So you want to be really careful with the whole let's just give it all away stuff. By the way, if you're a child doing it, does your power of attorney say you can give your mother's or father's assets away? Does it specifically authorize gifting? Does the trust specifically authorize gifting? You can only have one car. No, that's not true. I've had lots of clients get on Medi-Cal with more than one car. There's no requirement that you have only one car. You could never qualify for Medi-Cal. You have too much. No, not true. Under the right set of circumstances, almost anyone could get Medi-Cal with a little bit of planning and a little bit of knowledge if they wound up in a nursing home. There is an asset limit. Yeah, kind of, but not really. With a court order, there's really no asset limit. You have to spend down. There's no requirement in the law that you spend down. I know it gets said all the time, and people talk about spend down and all of that kind of stuff, but it's simply not true. This is a dangerous one. You will never go to a nursing home, and I want to add a comma or a subsection to that, which is I would never let my mother, my father, my husband, my wife go to a nursing home. You don't get to choose that. You can't say I'll never go to a nursing home. You don't get to choose that. There's no way you get to choose that. No, there's 110,000 people in nursing homes. None of them chose to go there. How did they get there? There are 2 million people and seniors in California, or 2.5 million, receiving some form of long-term care, either at home or assisted. None of them chose to have that happen to them. More than half of all people over 80 have some form of dementia. Nobody chooses to have that happen. You don't get a choice in that. My father didn't choose to have dementia. He had vascular dementia. He had heart failure. He didn't have enough oxygen going to his brain. He didn't choose that. And he wound up in a nursing home. You can't say to yourself or to your family or to your spouse or to your mom or dad that you'll never go to a nursing home. And you can't make that promise to someone. Don't worry, Dad. Don't worry, Mom. Don't worry, honey. You'll never go to a nursing home. Don't make that promise. In some cases, that promise, which is a false promise, winds up hurting the well spouse. I have a case right now where the well spouse has become ill trying to take care of the ill spouse, and now they're going to both need care because the kids couldn't make the decision that they had to deal with the ill spouse. And in the process, the well spouse became ill. If you have separate property and your spouse needs a nursing home, Medi-Cal will not count your property. Yes, they will. Wait, Bob, it's a second marriage. I have separate property and my wife has separate property. So if she goes into a nursing home, they don't count my property, right? Wrong. As long as you're married, even if you're legally separated, Medi-Cal considers you married, and they will count the property of both people. Somebody told me that. I know, but they will. Medi-Cal is different. It operates by a different set of rules. Medi-Cal will pay for a nursing home. Medicare will pay for a nursing home. I may have said the wrong thing. Medicare doesn't pay anything for a nursing home. Medicare doesn't pay anything for assisted living. Medicare doesn't pay anything for in-home care. Medicare doesn't pay. And if Medicare doesn't pay, your Medicare supplement doesn't pay. Well, Bob, I heard Medicare will pay for up to 100 days in a nursing home. That's rehab. And it's up to 100 days. The average time last time I heard was around 10 days that Medicare paid for rehab. Medicare does not pay for nursing homes. Medicare does not pay for long-term care or home care or assisted living. And neither does your Medicare supplement. And the last one I have on my list, not the last one ever, but the one I put on this list, was that it's all hopeless. That's the one I want to talk about for a minute. It's only hopeless if you do nothing. If you sit on your keister and you never get off of it and you live in a fantasy world where you pretend that this is never going to happen, first of all, you're the one person I can almost guarantee it will happen to. If you believe that, then it's going to be very difficult because you're not going to take the steps necessary so that when it does happen, you're prepared and you can protect what you worked a lifetime for. It's only hopeless if you do nothing. if you take none of the steps necessary to plan. The first half hour when I talked about, you know, what happens after you get the phone call that says the ambulance is on the way. If you take none of the steps to prepare yourself for that, then yes, it's very, very difficult. It's almost never hopeless, but you can make it really close to hopeless if you do nothing. And in my world, hopeless is when you wind up with a conservatorship because you never did anything, and when something finally goes wrong, your children or somebody who loves you has to go to court and get a judge to appoint someone to manage your affairs. That's pretty close to hopeless. When you've failed to plan, so you've planned so poorly that you wind up with a judge appointing someone who may not be a family member to take care of you. It doesn't have to be hopeless. It only becomes hopeless when you don't do anything. So the challenge to you is, to all of you listening, to the people you know about, your parents, your grandparents, whoever it is, the challenge is, are you willing to take the steps necessary? And I'm really talking to guys here now more than women. Women are used to being caregivers. Women understand the reality of caregivers. Husbands, you're one of the biggest problems. Sons, you're one of the biggest problems. I know that it's harsh language, but it's a reality. And when I talk to other people who do what I do, elder law attorneys, they'll tell you the toughest one to get. I've taken care of Mildred my whole life. We'll be just fine. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. And then usually, who winds up being the caregiver for the husband? His wife. And she can't do anything. She doesn't have the resources. She's not prepared. Why? Because the husband all along said, oh, it'll all be just fine. I can take care of it. Well, when you don't know what room you're in, you're not the one taking care of it. So a special challenge to husbands, to sons, you have to you're the ones that have to take the lead on this. Women understand what it's like to be a caregiver. They took care of their mom or their dad. They took care of the kids. They took care of their sister or their brother. They understand it better than we do. It's just a reality, folks. I'm not trying to pick on anybody. It's a reality of the world that I live in. You talk to elder law attorneys, they'll tell you exactly the same thing. It's not the daughters that I have a tough time convincing that mom needs care. It's the sons. And some of you out there right now are shaking your heads because you're a daughter and you're going, yeah, my mom needs help, but my two brothers just don't get it. As long as I take care of her, they're happy. So guys, you have to step up a little bit and you have to take the lead on this. Sons, you have to help your sisters take the lead on this. Because mom doesn't want help. Dad doesn't want help. You have to be the ones that determine who the responsible adult is. You can live with the myths, or somebody can step forward and say, no, we need to take charge of this. Because mom's getting older, dad's getting older, grandma's getting older, grandpa's getting older, my sister's getting older, whatever it is. And if you're alone, if you have no children, you're married or you're alone and have no children, who's going to take care of you and make these decisions for you? Because normally it's my kids. What if I don't have any kids? What if my brothers and sisters are all older than I am? How are we going to deal with the myth? And how are we going to deal with what do we do when we get the message that the ambulance is on the way or that mom's had a stroke? It is the ball is completely in your court. It's never hopeless until it is. I know that makes no sense, but it only becomes hopeless because people have done nothing along the way to make sure that they or the people they love are in charge, not circumstance and events. Less than half the people in the United States even have a will. And last time I checked, death is relatively certain. Less than half the people in the United States, seniors in the United States, have taken care of their funeral arrangements. Yet last time I checked, death is fairly certain. Long-term care it doesn't always happen, but it happens a lot. You all know somebody that needed care at the end of their life. So my encouragement to you today and my challenge to you today is that this show shakes your foundation a little bit as children and as parents and gets you to understand that you may be confronted and your family may be confronted with decisions and circumstance that you never, ever in your wildest imagination thought you would face. And when that happens, what are you going to do? How are you going to handle it? How are you going to be wise? Or are you just going to let it become hopeless, like the caller on the show today who said it was all hopeless, his mother lost everything. She lost everything because he didn't plan. And he didn't ask questions. Interestingly enough, it was a son. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. You can make a difference in your life or the life of a loved one. You can make sure that it's never hopeless. You can make sure you're not a victim of one of the myths that I just gave. 800-999-8007 or go to assetsandaging.com. You can sign up for an appointment or send me a question or arrange to get together. The consultation is free. I hope you found the show helpful. Give me a call, 800-999-8007, and we'll see you here again next week. Same time, same place, and join me Wednesday at noon for my podcast. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful day. Bye-bye.